Welcome to the 203rd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thank you for listening. Jeez, and thank you for living, too. Well, I just got back from Asheville, North Carolina, and I completed the Backyard to Vineyard Challenge. So we're going to talk mainly about that this weekend and kind of how all this relates to nutrition and health and, I guess, taking up challenges. So we'll get into that shortly. It's sunny down here in Florida, although it's cooler. It was in the 30s up in Asheville. I came back to 70-degree weather here. It's supposed to be a little cool the rest of the weekend. So still warmer than in North Carolina. Happy to be home and back in my humidity. Backyard garden, tomatoes and peppers, and have some tomatoes that just kind of blossomed out of compost, which is fun. Avocados starting to bloom, mangoes blooming, mulberries still going. So the backyard garden's fun this time of year. And so it was always nice to go home and then come back and kind of reassess things. So when the first thing I did, I came home and took the dogs out in the backyard. We played a little frisbee and picked a few mulberries, checked out the mangoes, checked out the papaya trees and the avocados to see what's going on, picked a few peppers, picked a few tomatoes. So it's always fun to go out into the backyard and see what's growing. This was our third time doing the Backyard to Vineyard Challenge. So I knew what to expect. I know the course. Asheville's a beautiful town. It's very vegan friendly. We love the food there. We love driving around in the little town. Of course, the Biltmore Estate is very beautiful. The name of the marathon is the Asheville Marathon and Half Marathon, but it's all run on the Biltmore Estates. So it's very, very pretty, very secluded, and there's not a lot of vegan food on the Biltmore Estate area, but, there's so many places in town that, that's where we went out to get food. And, it's just, you see a lot of wildlife during the marathon and then driving in, a lot of geese, a lot of wild turkeys, and then they're working farm, unfortunately, as far as those animals go. But anyway, getting back to the run, anybody that runs races, you always, especially in a different location from where you live, you always start checking the weather a week before to kind of see what you need to pack and what it's going to be like. And, I've done, I think it's over 28 marathons and 6 Ironman. So I've been in a fair amount of weather and different kind of environments. Used to be that, I was always worried if it's going to rain or not. Your feet getting wet and blisters and things like that. But, by this time I've run in rain and I've run in windy conditions. And I've, 2 years ago at Asheville, they actually had to delay the start of the full marathon because they had a snowstorm the night before and they actually had to plow the roads. So I've run in snow and sloppy weather like that. But you still kind of wonder, down here in Florida, we don't have much variation in the weather. So, we get into the 40s, but for the most part, you kind of have your different outfits for the different temperatures. So the weather forecast was Saturday for the half marathon. It actually was 30 to 35 degrees. It was very windy, 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. And then on Sunday, it was 30 to 45 degrees, much, much less windy. Sunny both days, a little bit more cloudy on Saturday, I guess. And, that 30-degree start line, and we were very fortunate. We stayed right at the Village Hotel, which was not more than a quarter mile, not even that. In my old golfing days, I would say probably a good driver to the start line. So that's probably not a quarter mile now, is it? It's probably more like 200 yards anyway. But anyway, that's to the finish, to the start finish line. So it's not like you had to stand out a long time, and there was lots of places for people that drove in to kind of huddle inside before the race started. But, you don't want to overdress and be hot. You don't want to underdress and be cold. And there's always that fear if you do get injured and you have to walk, how much are you going to shiver? But the reality of it is you'll never really You know, nobody ever died of hypothermia in 30 degrees for a couple hours, so you just kind of have to buck up. But I end up wearing capris both days. And I did see some people in shorts, but they did not look comfortable. And I wore two short sleeve shirts. I have a ExoSkin base layer. So a shout out to the ExoSkin people. That's ExoSkin. I'm not sponsored by them, but they do make a really tight compression type, a really nice compression top. Not too tight, but very wicking. And then I wore my Jamie Delaney, my Heartbeat Strong on Plants top over top of that. I had a buff on my head and a buff around my ears or around my neck. I had thick arm sleeves on and gloves, just regular old throwaway $3 Walmart type gloves. And I felt very good on both days. And that was really the agenda for both days. The second day in the 40s, I ended up peeling the arm sleeves down at the end because it got sunny and taking off the gloves. But the first day, I never got rid of anything. And boy, when you stopped, it was really cold. So that was the gear for that. And that was good. You know, again, there's always the fear that if you have to stop, what's it going to be like? And because you'd cool down so quickly, but you also don't want to get hot. So, you know, you want to shiver a little bit at the beginning. And then if you, get started, you warm up. And I did, you know, after a mile into things, you know, you're pretty warm. So that all worked out good. Pre-race food. I told you last podcast I had a surprise. We're working with Mama Says to launch a athletic bundle. And so, you know, I'm a big, my heart's beat strong on plant, and that's BEETS, because beets produce nitric oxide. Beets have been shown to increase your VO2 max, which is the ability of your body to uptake oxygen. And beets have been, obviously, you produce nitric oxide, your blood vessels dilate, you perfuse your muscles better. Beets have been shown to improve a 6-minute walk test on a treadmill. So we try to always eat beets before a race. So Mama Says came up with a formulation for us that is pureed beets, chia seeds, and turmeric. And then pureed beets, chia, and lemon for us to try. And so we had that the night before, probably a good cup and a half. And I had another cup the morning of the race. So the night before the half and the morning of the half. And then we came back from the half, had some more beets. And then the night before the marathon and after the marathon. And I got to tell you that, you know, this year compared to last year with just, you know, we probably had some beets on our salad and greens the night before, but no, you know, not a can or beets or anything before. I virtually had no soreness the morning we started the marathon. So, you know, I really fully recovered from the half marathon, and I ran it about the same as I ran the year before. It was a little bit slower, but not because of anything other than I just, you know, I got over the flu. I had the flu about 3 weeks ago and I was really down, you know, so I was, you know, 3 weeks ago when I was supposed to run Thrill in the Hills, I had the flu with a fever, to the point where I was laying around for the, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, not doing a thing. I gradually started running, you know, a couple of miles and really was tired, I would say, into the last week before this race. You know, my energy was starting to come back and that I felt that I actually started to feel like my old self. And I hadn't done a long run more than 12 miles. I did it 2 weeks before this marathon. So I had lost some fitness, definitely, and lost some endurance with this flu thing. So I really felt that, you know, the half went pretty good, you know, for what I was coming back from. I felt my effort was every bit as much as it was last year. So the fact that I wasn't sore after the half, I got to give the beets a lot of credit, the turmeric a lot of credit. Now, we also, you know, we eat very healthy otherwise. I went out and had, afterwards, we actually had a sauerkraut avocado toast sandwich, and had some Thai food and rice both days. Actually had a vegan pizza. So, I mean, but we had, you know, our nitric oxide production was largely from these beets that, you know, Mama Says, and she sent the packages right to us at the hotel. And Mama Says is able to take and send packages to where you are, any of their bundles, they ship in a cooler. So that was really cool. And I'm a believer of them. I think that they really did good. And so that's going to be my pre-race food from here on out. And I look forward to, you know, doing some other products with them as well. And those will be announced. Some of those other products will be announced soon. You know, part of the idea, and we'll get into this in future episodes, but part of the idea is that, you know, we see so many athletes at these events that, you know, you train for marathons and you train for an event only to go the night before and have crappy food. You know, typically people have, and they go for a pasta dinner or, you know, maybe even something worse. And it's usually greasy, cheesy, salty type food. People think they can eat a lot of calories because they can train. They're training, but they're not good calories. There's not a lot of nutrients and antioxidants in them. And of course, then after the race, you know, I think they had cookies and some bagels, and they had a few bananas, and they had some chocolates, you know, and beer and Gatorade and Coca-Cola, you know. So nothing, you know, that, you know, would be recovery food. And again, typically then people go out and have, you know, whatever they, high calorie food because they've earned it, so to speak. So we want to, you know, develop a, you know, you train to do these races, you know, we want people to recover well, and we want people to go in and do their best nutritionally so that they're actually helping themselves, protecting themselves, you know. You see a lot of shapes and sizes at these events, whether it's a half marathon or a whole marathon or full marathon. And the number of people doing half marathons is actually overtaken the number of people doing full marathons. A half marathon is 13.1 miles. A whole marathon is 26.2. And, you know, the half marathon is doable without a whole lot of training, you know, many months before. You know, typically somebody to start out and do a marathon should train for at least 3-4 months. You could probably get by on, you know, 3 months with a half, going from couch to half marathon. So there's a lot of variety in the people that are doing the half marathons. And a lot of people don't start doing this to the, you know, they get back into their 40s, maybe 50s, you know, it's to get off the couch to set a goal. And if they're doing that and eating poorly and they have some health problems, there's a risk there. And we like to work with people to help them get their nutrition down so that they, you know, do these races more safely, they recover better, and they become fitter because of it. So, you know, that's one of the reasons for trying to develop some of these programs. And we want to work with people that want to do marathons and these endurance events to try to help them out a little bit. You know, I think there's certainly a lot of athletes out there that are faster than I am. But I believe that as far as my nutritional insight, I think I have something to offer people that are trying to get out there and do these races to give them a little edge to improve performance. And, you know, I think we're seeing it. There's going to be a movie come out called The Game Changers, and, you know, what plant-based nutrition is doing for athletes in general. And, you know, if you have athletes of equal ability, the changer is going to be their nutrition, because good nutrition allows you to recover faster, to train longer, to get more blood flow to your muscles. So this is the next frontier with athletic performance, and we're ready to take that on. So anyway, getting back to the races, you know, the first day we took off, and the first 6 miles is pretty hilly. You climb up to the Biltmore Estates from down below, and the village inn is down where the vineyard is, and the bottom part of their land by the, there's a little a stream or river that goes through the property. And So you wind your way up to the Biltmore Estates, and it's kind of fun to hear people, you know, a lot of people have never been to the Biltmore that are running the race. And so when you drive in, you never see the Biltmore. You have to, you know, go up a different way and pay to go up there normally. So it's a great way to see the Biltmore and see the whole property if you haven't. But it's about the elevation gains about 748 feet per my Garmin. As you climb up and eventually get to the Biltmore, and that's takes you through 6 miles, and then you kind of go down into the bottom again and run along the riverbed and back into the village hotel finish line. And so, you know, the strategy for racing, you know, I know I'm going to race 2 days. It's the third time I've done it. I always take the half marathon a little bit easier. But I also been doing some strength training and wanted to see where my legs were as far as going up some of these hills. So I kind of decided to bank some time, so to speak. And, you know, in running, you can try to bank time early on and then maybe expect a slowdown. You can try to run a steady pace throughout the whole race. A lot of people walk run, and that's typically how I do some of my marathons, is a walk run. But I decided to bank some time early on. And so I wanted to keep a slow, steady pace up these hills. So I probably walked 20 seconds on two occasions. I didn't want to do any walk breaks, certainly going downhill. And I figured if I got down to flat and I needed a walk break, I would take it. But I ended up pretty much, like I said, with the exception of two short walk breaks, I ran the whole 13 miles and finished a little slower than I did last year. But again, I think that was, you know, mainly because of just kind of coming back from the flu. So now it comes down to, what do you do on the second day with the marathon? I was so excited that I didn't have any, real soreness from the half marathon. I had been dealing with a little psoas, low back tightness, hamstring tightness, and I'd had some chiropractic treatments before, and that was really doing good when I went into this race, and I didn't want to mess that up. So I was feeling, you know, so I was like, well, I don't want to re-injure myself, because we have the big race coming up in Mendocino April 30th, our 50K. But I did want to push myself to see where I am. So again, that comes down to it. Do you walk run from the beginning? And of course, it was cold in the morning, so I didn't want to walk run in the beginning because I wanted to warm up. So I thought, okay, I'll run the first 3 miles and see how I feel. And then it became, well, you know, I'll keep pounding up these hills because I feel pretty good. And then you don't want to walk the downhill. So I ran the downhill. So the next thing you know, I was about, 7 miles into the whole marathon, and I hadn't really taken a walk break. And I was starting to run, I was definitely running a little slower than I had. And I just didn't feel, I just didn't have another gear on the second day. I think the effects of the flu was just enough there that I wasn't sore. I just didn't have I didn't have another gear. So I thought, okay, you know, this is great. I still feel good. It's a beautiful day. We'll just see how it works out. You know, if I can keep a steady pace up, then this is good. And maybe I'll go to a 6 minute run and 30 second walk, as opposed to a 3 minute run and a 30 second walk. And for some reason, I just wasn't really doing the walks that much. And I thought, because I was slower, that maybe I should just go with my slow and steady pace and see if I could just maintain that. And that's kind of what I came down to. You know, you don't ever think real clearly when you're actually doing the marathon. And, so somehow I came to the decision that, you know, I was just going to do my steady pace and see what that steady pace would have been for the day. So that was the decision I kind of made for it. And I said, if I get on the backside, then, we'll see. If I have to start doing more walk runs and I become more tired, I will. On the marathon day, the first half is the exact same as the half marathon on the first day. And in the back half, you go into their farm area and you go up some pretty steep climbs. So the total elevation gain for the second day was 1,240 feet. So, it was pretty hilly again for a flatlander in Florida. You know, it was there's a fair amount of hills to climb. But, you know, I started really slow and steady, started becoming more slower and more steady, or steadily more slow after about 13 miles. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, if I'm going so slow, my heart rate's certainly not up. You know, do I want to take walk breaks when I'm going this slow? So I kind of kept pushing it and not really doing my walk breaks. Certainly not every 3 minutes, sometimes every six. And then it eventually became every 3 minutes. And, you know, I just decided to ride it out and to see what happened. And, I was about 20 minutes slower this year than last year doing it that way. Last year I took some walk breaks. I started doing I'm pretty sure I did the walk breaks, and so in retrospects, you know, if you could do it again, like today, I could have run again. I would like to have seen what the walk breaks would have been. I really don't want to run. I really wouldn't have want to have ran today. My quads are sore today. But you know, there's no takebacks when you train for a marathon. You know, you have that day. It's not like you get another day. So you make that decision and you go for it. It was a gorgeous day. Skies were blue. It's just a nice day to be outside. It's kind of funny when you're getting ready for these events, and you certainly get nervous, you know, what's going to happen. And it's, you know, a lot like life. You know, you wait and you wait to go, you know, on vacation to run a marathon, and you want it to last, but you also want it to be over. You want the pain not to last. You want to find out what the result's going to be. You want to know the ending, but then you don't want to rush it. And it's all a lot like, you know, it really is a lot like life. And so I really did try to settle down and just enjoy the moment, enjoy being outside. There's no place I would rather be than to be outside running. And it was certainly a beautiful environment. The roads were closed. There weren't any cars. The backside was largely a trail run. You get to see, you know, watch other people and see them and observe them and listen to them. And it's really quite interesting. People are pushing themselves and accepting the challenge of running for all different reasons. There was a couple running near me for a lot of the second half, and they were on their 10th wedding anniversary. They came to the Biltmore the first anniversary, and they said, well, they came to this the second time here 10 years later, and they were running a marathon together, and they were struggling. His ankle was bothering him, and they were tired. And it's like, well, you know, it's a pretty good testament to your marriage. You're still getting along, you know, after 19 miles. And but you see all different shapes and sizes, ages of people. There was a young group of kids that were running, and I call them kids. They were probably in their early 20s. Which is pretty young for marathoning. And they, you know, they decided to just do a marathon. They had not run anything shorter. They were going to do a triathlon, but they decided they didn't like to swim. So they were going to do a marathon, and they were just happy. And I just saw them in the beginning of the race. I would have liked to have seen them a little later, to see how that worked out. But in the beginning, they were very happy and excited and, eager to take the day on. And, you know, again, it's one step at a time, and pacing yourself and accepting that there will be times during the race that maybe you feel better than others. Some races you may feel poor a lot of the race, but certainly there's good times and bad. If you look at the finish of a race, you always see people running faster. So there was something, including myself, there was something left to run. You had something a little bit left in the tank when you finished. You think about it and you pace yourself differently, or you break the race up differently. I typically start out with, you know, the first 3 miles, and then maybe mile five, mile eight. Think about getting to double digits, mile 10, then the halfway point, and then mile 15, and mile 18 is typically a benchmark for me. And then when you hit mile 20, you know, your glycogen reserves are pretty much gone. So You know, that's when your nutrition really comes into play, as far as if you've taken in enough to get you through the last 26. And then that last 3 miles, you start to think, well, that's just an easy 3 miler in. So you talk to yourself and you break things up as you go along. And, it's not that much different from a journey to change, to become plant-based. When you kind of have to be mindful of it and be aware of what you're doing and break things up and set different little short goals. Some people, you know, want to become plant-based, sugar, oil, salt-free overnight. And it's not that easy. It, you know, you have to work up to it, kind of like the marathon. It doesn't always go well. There are struggles. You're not sure exactly what's going to happen, but, it's like that. And, you know, I'll take this to, you know, I started thinking about our conference that's coming up, in 2 weeks on March 30th. You know, it's our fourth annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. And what an opportunity that is, or what we're trying to do for our community and plant-based community and for people in the area. We want to showcase plant-based nutrition, and we want to help educate people and help motivate them and help support them in their transition to become healthier. Not unlike the marathon, when people are, you know, most people are doing that to challenge themselves to ultimately become healthier. You know, in the marathon and a half, we pay to run these races. You know, the money goes to shut the roads down and, you know, buy supplies and those medals that you get, and the t-shirts you get. But for the most part, of course, the, you know, the race director, they, people make money, and there's money that goes to charity. But, you know, ultimately you're paying to run, and it's your 4 hours or 5 hours of entertainment when you're out there running. And, you teach yourself a lesson that day. You learn maybe a lesson of humility, a lesson of perseverance, learn how to take in nutrition better, pacing. You know, and our conference is a good bit like that as well. We're going to have speakers, Dr. Alan Goldhammer, talk about water fasting versus, and how it relates to, you know, some of the current trends with intermittent fasting. Eric O'Gray will be talking about his journey from nearly 400 pounds to now running marathons and qualifying for Boston, and, you know, his dog Petey and their relationship, and now with his dog Jake. And the motivation, and what, how it's completely changed his life and the focus of his path, for what he does for a career. And that's pretty much the theme. You know, Addie and I also be speaking along those lines as what it is to change your life and become plant-based and what that entails when you want to take your health back, and, you know, there's stumbling blocks, just like it is in the marathon, that people, you know, come across. There are things in the way to your training. Just like if you got injured when you were training for a marathon, there are, you know, you fall off the plant-based wagon, so to speak, or people come to your house, or you go on vacation and it becomes more difficult, or you can't find food. And so there's a lot of similarities. You know, we're going to have a plant-based breakfast and lunch, and I've really spent a lot of time. It's going to be the recipes that we've developed in the Delaney household. Addie Meinrich, my daughter, and my mom, and I, the recipes that we're going to have for breakfast and lunch are ours. They're going to be part of the cookbook. So we're going to, you know, happy to showcase those recipes. We've actually hired our own chef to really focus on the details. We're not leaving anything out as far as, you know, letting somebody else interpret these recipes. We're going to do a cooking demonstration. There'll be a Q&A at the end so people can ask their questions. And so I think it'll be a day well spent, a day of motivation, you know, a day of reflection, you know, not like out there running a marathon. So you won't be suffering if you come to our conference, but I hope you'll be learning and be motivated to try and do more. You know, my talk is going to be on, you know, what do people like us that are interested in being as healthy as we possibly can. You know, what do we do? And there's a variety. Just like when you look at the marathon and you see people of all shapes and sizes, there are people of all different backgrounds that are plant-based. And there's people that, you know, want to be healthy in all different walks of life, ethnic backgrounds. But we all have one thing in common, is that we want to be the healthiest that we can be. So I hope you will join us. You need to get your tickets soon, because we are going to have to close the sale of tickets in about a week, so we can give our chef, you know, the final countdown to buy supplies. So if you are interested in coming, please go to drdulaney.com, drdulaney.com, and click on the link to Eventbrite to get your tickets. Certainly email me if you have any problem or questions about that. There's plenty of hotels in Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte to stay in if you're coming from out of town. There's plenty of things to do. Make a weekend of it. Eddie and I, we have a few slots left for private consultations if you'd like to do that. If you're interested, you need to do that very quickly, though, because those slots are almost filled. So we'd like to meet you and see you at the conference. But you know, again, running the marathon, I think about all those different things, and you try to be present and look at your surroundings. This is the third time that I've run the Asheville Marathon, and you think you know the course pretty good because you run the half twice, so this is the sixth time I've run the first half of the marathon, and the third time I've run the second half. But there were things that I forgot, turns that I forgot, views that I never have noticed before. Coming back along the river, I looked up and saw the Biltmore Mansions, sitting up on the hill. I'd never seen that before. There seemed to be a lot more geese this year, along the water, and looked at those. Looking at the river and the different currents between Saturday and Sunday. Back on the back of the farm, I forgot some of the turns and where it went around. We actually run around this lake up on the farm, and I didn't realize until this time that we actually ran all the way around that lake and circled, the basic mileage, but I never had put it together that we just actually ran around this lake, a pretty broad loop. And it was funny, and where some of the hills were, I knew where there was one big last hill, but I wasn't sure quite when it came. So it kind of all ties into being mindful and being present for the run. Sometimes we want to, make things go away and ignore them. But you miss a lot when you don't get to do that. So my time was slower this time, but I think I enjoyed the race. I wasn't worried about my time after I got to the point where it's like, well, I'm not going to be as fast as I was last year. Let's just see how I can do. And at the end, I started doing the 3 minutes running, 1 minute walking, and kept lumbering along and made it through. And again, I had a little kick at the end, and it was all good, and finished with a smile on my face. So all said and done, it was a great weekend. Had some great Thai food. Got together with some of my Port Charlotte friends my running buddies that we hadn't run with in a long time. And we got back together in Asheville and ran together and reminisced and caught up. So, it was a great weekend. So when we weren't running, we were sitting around laughing and reminiscing. So recommend it to anybody. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and be present. It doesn't matter if you're fast or slow or in between. It's just enjoying the process. I think when we start to want to become plant-based and get healthy, everybody wants to be healthy now. And a lot of people have been unhealthy for some time or overweight for some time, and they just want it to be over. But I think, there's a lot to learn from that process of just, maybe being in the negative a couple hundred calories just by getting rid of oil, getting rid of, nut butters is something I see people, struggling over, or eating out and getting into excess of salt. And just by starting to eliminate some of those things, their weight starts to come back down and they start to feel good. And some people's cholesterol doesn't come down right away. Some people have the big giant jump, but a lot of people it's 240, then 220, then 200. And you know, it comes down much slower, but it does keep coming down. So, you know, be sure to persevere and don't get frustrated. Just enjoy the process of becoming more and more healthy and setting challenges up for yourself each week and, you know, making each nutrition week a little bit better than the week before and having some sort of goal and a goal for movement and getting out there and doing something. So that's, you know, I guess one of the, I remember several years ago, you know, one of my patients said, you know, cause I hang the marathon posters up on the wall and he said, I just want to ask you, he says, if you know you're going to lose, why do you run a marathon if you know you can't win? And it's like, well, I don't really consider myself a loser. Every time you complete one, that's a win that you've, you know, you've crossed the line, when all those other people never got off the couch that day, you know, you beat all those other people that didn't try. And there's always a life lesson to learn. There's always a story. Some of my best memories are from the day of running the marathon or what I've seen or where we've been associated with it. So, you know, I don't have any regret about any marathon, no matter how bad the time was or what kind of misery I may have encountered that day. You know, I look back on all of them, with, you know, lessons having learned and then, a new challenge, what to do in the future. You know, we barely finished this marathon and, you know, what might I do differently? You know, should I have done the 33-minute walk run and 30-second walk while I do that the next time? Or maybe when Mendocino, I'll be able to run up more of those hills since I was stronger. So, you know, it's all like a giant crossword puzzle, trying to fill in the pieces and fill in, you know, enjoy the journey and learn something from it. So I, you know, look forward to the next adventure. It's going to be Mendocino 50K and we'll go from there. I hope you can join us for the conference. Again, great breakfast and lunch, great speakers, great question and answering session, a great day of motivation. I know people will take away something new, even if you've been plant-based for, you know, years and years and years. There's always someone that you'll meet or someone that you might help to pay it forward, or hear just a little bit of information that's new to you, or see something that inspires you. So I hope to meet you at the conference. If I don't meet you at the conference, I hope to meet you at a race where you're challenging yourself to do something that you hadn't thought that you could possibly do before. So until next week, have a great week, and get out and move your body and eat plants strong.